Hi, my name is Autumn Dixon, and this week is April 15th through the 21st of the Come Follow Me program associated with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This week we're talking about a couple of different books in the Book of Mormon, but I'm going to be focusing primarily in the Book of Enos. So I remember when I was young reading the Book of Enos, and I loved it. It was great. But I remember reading some of the things that Enos prayed for and thinking it was really interesting, a little bit odd, and then also reading some of the Lord's responses and finding them just a little bit odd. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of these oddities, I guess, today. So Enos prays for a lot of things. Throughout his prayer, he prays for forgiveness, he prays for his brethren, prays for the Lamanites. There is one verse in particular that I used to find just a little bit odd. So this is Enos, it's chapter 1, it's verse 13. It says, "And now behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that if it should so be that my people, the Nephites, should fall into transgression and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people, the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation." The Lord goes on and he's like, yeah, I can do that. I'll preserve the record. It'll go to the Lamanites someday. By the way, your father's already asked for this, and I already said yes. So these are the responses, the things that Enos prayed for, and the response of the Lord that I thought were a little bit odd. Because if you really think about it, it would be like me with my journal being like, hey, Heavenly Father, if my children choose not to be righteous, will you preserve my journal and make sure it gets to their enemies so that they can be converted, even if my kids aren't converted? It's just a very specific and odd thing to pray for, right? And then also the Lord's like, actually, your father's already asked for this. And I said, yes, already. So I just thought this was a little bit odd. I want to zoom out and look at the whole prayer. And then I want to come back to this verse. Because I feel like if we can zoom out, we're able to follow Enos's prayer, learn what prayer should look like, what it's actually for. And this verse starts to make a lot more sense. Now, we know that Enos prayed all day. So what does that really mean? It means that we are looking at a very small portion of what Enos actually prayed. I can read these verses in probably less than 10 minutes. I'm a fast reader, but we can read these verses in less than 10 minutes. Which means there is so much that we are missing from what Enos was talking about with the Lord in his prayer. Not to mention, it was very difficult to engraven upon the plate. So of course he's not going to engraven everything that he is praying. However, there's a lot that we can learn from what he recorded. There's also a lot that we can learn from what he didn't record. Now, I write my prayers, not all of them, but I write at least one prayer a day, 99% of the days. I do this for a couple reasons. One of those reasons is because I am interrupted all the time by kids. And so if I were to constantly try coming back, I would just never get through a prayer. It just doesn't work. And so I write it down. That way, if I have to look up and help a kid, I can look back down and pick up right where I left off and not start over again. I am also very unfocused now because of these constant practiced distractions in my life with my kids. And so it just helps me focus. I write my prayers. Now I have a process for it. My process is that I open up a note on my computer and I just write it out for the day. I write everything I'm thankful for. I ask for help on different things. But then I erase it all and I do it over again the next day. However, if something occurs to me as important, I move over to my journal because I also type my journal. And I move over to my journal on Google Drive and I put it into my journal. I save the most important things and I record them where they will be more permanent. I don't save everything. It's just too much. And A lot of it's repeated. It would be silly to record everything. So I take what's important, what I learned out of my prayers, and I put them somewhere permanent. Enos prayed all day, and he recorded the most significant things. There are things that we can learn from what he recorded and what he did not record. And when we observe it in that manner, we learn what prayer should look like and what it's truly about. We have all been taught the purpose of prayer, that it's about change, conversion, and communion with God, right? It's supposed to be a process in which our vision is lifted higher. We are able to see as he sees the realities around us and act accordingly, or our eyes are opened to the eternal context, right? Prayer is about us changing how we view what's occurring around us. And yet, so often, myself included, so often we often treat prayer like a vending machine where we put something in, expect something to come out, and there's not a lot of communion happening. Whereas prayer was always meant to be more of a phone call, right? Where we check in and we discuss things with Heavenly Father and we essentially have an experience with Him, right? So that it changes us. Throughout this prayer, reading Enos's prayer, you can pinpoint very specific changes in Enos. There are pivotal moments in this prayer where we see how Enos changed. And as we pinpoint these moments and we talk about these moments, it will help us understand what prayer is supposed to be looking like. Now, I want to go through Enos's prayer in order. I'll point out these pivotal moments, and I want to talk very specifically as we're going through this prayer. I want to talk about the change that is overcoming Enos. What changed in Enos while he was praying? And I want to talk about two influences that are changing Enos. Because as I've observed my own prayers, and as I read Enos's prayer, I found two influences that are weaving their way throughout his prayer. And it's these two influences that are changing him. So if we can pinpoint them, talk about them in context, we can invite them into our own life. So, first part. Enos prays for forgiveness. He pours out his soul to his maker. He prays for forgiveness. Two influences, right? The two influences that I have observed, influence number one, is the revelation that we just directly receive while we're praying. The things that we feel, the feelings that are impressed upon our hearts, the words that we hear, whatever revelation we're receiving directly from God. That is one influence that changes us. Another influence that I have seen change me time and time and again, and that you can see change Enos in his prayer, is when we apply knowledge we already have about Heavenly Father to our situations. So, influences that we are going to be looking at. How, like the direct revelation we're receiving from Heavenly Father, and how our previous knowledge of Heavenly Father comes into play. So, Enos kneels down, his soul hungers, he prays for forgiveness, and he talks about how his guilt was swept away. When you're reading it, you see two things. One, there is a voice that came to Enos. He says, "Your sins are forgiven you," right? The direct revelation, that's obviously going to change Enos. But you also see that second influence where Enos says, "I knew God could not lie, so my guilt was swept away." We see Enos change, mighty change. He is forgiven. His guilt is swept away, and it came about because of these two influences. God spoke to him, and he had previous knowledge about God. So after Enos is done praying for forgiveness, he actually starts to pray for his brethren, the Nephites. And when he's talking about praying for his brethren, the Nephites, he talks about how he was struggling the spirit and pouring out his soul. There is a lot that is left unrecorded here, right? We don't read much about his pouring out of his soul and his struggling in the spirit. We don't read those specific words that he was using with the Lord. So this is conjecture on my part, but I feel like it's pretty logical. In my opinion, Enos was praying that his people would be saved, that his people, they were his children, his posterity. He wanted his brethren to find the Lord and stay converted to the Lord. He wanted their hearts to be turned to the Lord always. And if they strayed, that they would come back. I can imagine, logically, that's what Enos would be praying for, right? He would want his people to find the Lord and stay there. And I would imagine that a lot of his struggling and all of that, he's praying that. And eventually he gets this answer from the Lord. And the Lord specifically says, I will protect them while they're righteous, but I can't protect them in the day of their transgression. Now, to me, this implies that the Nephites weren't always going to be righteous, because the Lord could only promise to protect them while they were righteous. And Enos catches this implication, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. He does catch that implication that the Lord's like, I promise to protect them while they're righteous, right? When Nephi is praying for his brethren, we see two changes. Two changes come over Enos. The first one is really interesting. It's that he began to be unshaken. His faith was unshaken in the Lord. Now, this is really interesting because the Lord had just implied to Enos that his people would probably be destroyed eventually, that they would fall into wickedness and be destroyed. But Enos, rather than falling into depression, his faith actually grows stronger in the Lord. I testify that this is a true principle. I cannot explain the mechanism of it. I don't really understand the mechanism of it, other than the Holy Ghost is doing something funky. But I have felt this happen before. I have felt the Spirit deliver bad news to me, but somehow I have been left feeling closer to the Lord. There's an experience that I had years ago where there was a group of people and they were trying to hurt my family. And I was praying so sincerely, and I was like, Heavenly Father, I know that even though the odds are against us, I know we can beat these people and you can help our family and everything can turn out and we can have a happy ending. And I felt very stopped in my prayer. I could not pray for it anymore. I felt like the Lord was like, no, you can't pray for that. I'm not going to give you that. And even if it was just subconsciously, I knew in that moment that we were going to lose. I knew that we would not win against these people, that they would be successful in their bid against us, and they would win, right? And normally, you would think that that would make someone depressed. And if someone else had delivered the news, it probably would have made me depressed. But somehow, as it came through the Lord, as time moved on and things got crazier and as these people truly did begin to win against us, I reflected on this prayer again and again and again, and it always brought me a sense of peace that I knew that the Lord knew where we were. I knew that he had to let the plan of salvation play out and that he had to allow people their agency so that they could build the life that they wanted and the eternity that they wanted. And my faith grew stronger despite the fact that I had been delivered bad news, right? Can't explain the mechanism. I can only testify that it happens, and it happened to Enos. His faith grew unshaken. Second change that comes over Enos is his prayers change. He stops praying for the Nephites to be saved, and he moves on to the Lamanites. And he starts to pray that the Lamanites will receive the Book of Mormon. That's basically what he's praying for. He doesn't know it's called the Book of Mormon, but that's what he prays for. He says in this verse 13, this is the one that we talked about in the beginning, where he's like, if the Nephites are going to get destroyed, then could you help our records be preserved? And then can you give those records to the Lamanites in the future so that they can become converted, right? Super specific thing to pray for. But when we look at it in context, it makes all sorts of sense. So we see that Enos was changed by the direct revelation he was receiving from the Lord. Because the Lord is like, yes, I will protect the Nephites while they're righteous, right? Enos heard the implication because he starts to pray, okay, if the Nephites are destroyed, so we see it right there. He heard the implication. He changed his prayer. He changed. But what about this previous knowledge that I've talked about? This previous knowledge that he already had of the Lord, how did that influence come into play in this specific pivotal moment in his prayer when he's praying for the Lamanites? So when Enos prays, he says, if the Nephites are destroyed, please give the Nephite records to the Lamanites. This is interesting because he could have just prayed for the Lamanites. He could have said, if the Nephites are destroyed, well, can you make sure that the Lamanites find the gospel? Can you make sure that they're converted? But he doesn't do that. He prays that the Lamanites will be given the Nephite record so that they can be converted. Now here, once again, it's conjecture, but it makes sense. Enos, in the beginning of the chapter, it talks about how he was taught in the language of his father. Now, some historians believe that this means that when it says they were taught in the language of their father, it means they were taught to write, to read and write. Enos's father was Jacob, and I can only imagine that Jacob taught Enos about the record. And not only how to read it and how to add to it by writing, but I would imagine that Jacob taught Enos how important the records were. And so I imagine this moment in Enos's mind where he almost has this aha moment, like maybe this is what the record's for, right? We have to keep these records. We know that the Lord's going to preserve them. He wouldn't just have us be writing for nothing. Like, maybe this is what it's about. Maybe this is what the records are for. He was taught that they were important. He had previous knowledge of the Lord. The Lord wants them to write down their records. And so he prays with that previous knowledge and with the knowledge the Lord just gave him of, I will only protect the Nephites while they're righteous. He takes both of those influences and he changes. He changes what he prays for. He prays that the record will go to the Lamanites someday and convert the Lamanites. All throughout Enos's prayer, we watch him change. And you can see very specifically how the Lord's answers changed him and how his previous knowledge came into play as well, how those two influences played upon Enos as he was praying so that it changed him. Now, unfortunately, we cannot pray all day, every day, like Enos did. And I'm going to take a wild guess that Enos didn't do this every day, right? It's completely impractical. It doesn't work. However, and yes, we can pray all day in our hearts. We keep prayer in our hearts, absolutely. But we cannot pray like Enos did every day, all day. In this manner. We also can't be receiving revelation to the extent that Enos was receiving it every day, all day. There have been many times when I feel like I've approached the Lord with all of the right ingredients and he has been silent. And it's not because I'm doing anything wrong. He just has his reasons, right? So we don't have to be afraid if we're not receiving anything back immediately, right? But the times when everything has come together, when my previous knowledge of the Lord and I'm turning to him for prayer, I'm trying to change, those moments when everything has clicked into place and I've seen how there were past things that I've learned that are important and how the Lord is speaking to me and it has changed me and been incredible. Those moments are so powerful, so wonderful. Highly recommend having them. And it's interesting. It's interesting because I feel like there are some things in my life, not all things. I feel like sometimes the Lord requires us to pray for things in order for things to turn out. But sometimes I feel like the Lord is going to keep moving down his path regardless of whether we pray for it, right? But I've learned that because I was praying about it, I was changed. So for example, the other oddity that we talked about in the beginning was that the Lord was talking to Enos and he's like, actually, your dad's already asked for this. Your father's already asked for this. And I said yes, right? If Enos had not prayed for the Book of Mormon to come forth, if he had not prayed that the Nephite record would eventually go to the Lamanites, the Book of Mormon still would have come forth. It still would have gone to the Lamanites. However, because Enos participated in prayer Enos changed. And that was the point. That was the whole point. The point of prayer is change, conversion, communion. We do not have to get discouraged if our prayers do not always look like Enos's prayers. If you're worried about your prayers and what they're looking like, go back to those three purposes: change, conversion, communion. I have a couple of different kinds of prayers. The prayer that I write every day usually occurs during nap time when I have a little bit more quiet time, few less interruptions, and I've got a little bit of energy. So the Lord knows that if he needs to talk to me, that's probably the best time to do it. I know he can enable me to talk, like to be able to receive revelation at other times. But I feel like the really stronger communications I have with the Lord are when I'm writing my prayer, sitting on my bed, typing it out. My prayers at night look very different. Usually by nighttime, I am exhausted and my brain is gone and I don't have a lot to give. And I have learned that the Lord does not begrudge me my weak, tired mortal body that is weak, tired because I have been taking care of kids. He does not begrudge me that. And so my prayers are much more simple at night, but my prayers have still changed. My prayers at night, rather than doing my best to try and list off things I'm grateful for and try to pray for something that's like worth praying for, instead my prayers have often changed into thanking him that I get to go to bed. And then sometimes it includes a couple other things, but a lot of times it just includes almost like a mental hug goodnight. Like I'm acknowledging him. I'm acknowledging my relationship with him. Thanks for being there throughout the day. I love you. Good night. My prayers are much simpler at night. They do not look like Enos's prayer. That is recorded right here. But it doesn't matter because my prayer is changing me. As I turn my heart towards him, even in a very simple way, and I mentally hug him goodnight, I'm still changing. And that was the main thing to get out of this, right? It was really awesome and cool to watch all this revelation and all these influences come into play and watch Enos change. But that's really what I'm trying to get at here. Prayer is meant to change us. And there will be some days when our prayers look like Enos and we have these really incredible experiences. But it doesn't have to look like that every time. A simple acknowledgement of my relationship with my Heavenly Father at night, instead of trying to desperately list off something I'm grateful for and desperately try to say something meaningful, rather when I just take a moment to connect with him at the end of the day, quietly in my mind, and as I acknowledge the Savior and his role in helping me commune with Heavenly Father, it doesn't look like a normal prayer, but it does change me. If you are worried about how your prayers look, go back to those purposes. That change. There are many beautiful ways to change and grow closer to your Heavenly Father and to your Savior Jesus Christ, which means there are many beautiful ways to pray. I am grateful that my Heavenly Father has taught me about my relationship with him and what it's supposed to look like. I am grateful for my Savior who paid the price so that I can commune with my Heavenly Father regularly. I am grateful that they want to commune with me and that they answer me and speak to me and change me. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.